Your Bible's in Jeremiah chapter 5. Appreciate Brother Moore giving me the opportunity. It's a men's meeting, so I'm preaching to each and every one of you tonight. Myself included. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Lord says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. God tells Jeremiah, go see if you can find a man, Jeremiah. Any man. No special man, just any man. He says, go see if you can find a man, Jeremiah. He says, if you can find one man, I'll pardon Jerusalem. That's grace and mercy there, isn't it?
Amen.
But it's not recorded that he found one. Go to Jeremiah chapter 12. Verse 10. It says, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. And that's happening today. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Again, there's no man. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. I pray, Lord, for the message. I pray that you'd take it, that you'd use it, that your will be done in each of our hearts, each of our lives this evening. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah's told to go looking for a man. He says, if you find one, I'll pardon Jerusalem. I believe God is still looking for men.
That's right. Yes, amen.
Men that will execute judgment. Men that will seek truth. America is in serious trouble. And one of its problems is that men are disappearing. Males are taking an effeminate position. They're being trained to respond like females. We see it in the new perversions of Bibles coming out. Some Bibles have turned the Son of God into the child of God. They've turned Lord into Sovereign One. They've turned the Son of Man into Human One. They've turned God the Father into God the Father and Mother.
Wickedness.
Yeah, it is. I never saw the movie, but I guess it was a book, To the Shack. Anybody hear about that? Huh?
That's horrible.
Yeah. Where God was a woman. That's what's going on in the day and age. There's a movement. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe there was a conspiracy started in the garden.
Yeah, buddy.
And it's been going ever since.
Yeah.
When you're around someone every day, you're close to them. You do not see change in them. But if you run into somebody that you haven't seen in 10 years, or you run around, you know, run into somebody you haven't seen in 20 years, every now and then I'll run into somebody that I graduated with, and I say to Tammy, I said, man, they're getting old. You see it. You know, when there's that long of a time you see that change, but if you're around somebody day in and day out, you really don't see a change. And that's what's going on in this country. That's what's going on with manhood. As manhood goes the wrong way, we really don't see it because it's just happening so slowly and happening every day and day. We don't notice it until we step back and really take a look at it through the pages of the Bible and understand what is going on. So is it possible to change without recognizing it? I believe it is. Manhood is changing. And certainly not for the good. I've got a book in my library. It's called Who Moved the Goalposts? But I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of goalposts moved. As far as manhood is concerned, the goalposts have been moved also. What is your definition of a man? I mean, think about it. Just think to yourself, what is your definition of a man? Before we got saved, I'm sure our definitions were all a lot different than they are now. You know, you think of the Marlboro man. Is he still around? I don't know. The rough, rugged looking guy sitting on the horse with a cigarette in his, he's a real man. You ever hear real men don't cry? That's not true. Now, I raised my sons not to cry. I mean, when they got hurt, and they didn't need to cry. You understand what I'm saying? As a man, there are times that you don't need to cry. You shouldn't be crying, right? But there are times. When my father passed away, I cried. When my mother passed away, I cried. When my sister passed away, I cried. And I've cried. I cried when my daughter got married, when I walked her down the aisle. Start crying now about that one. God has chosen the human race to carry out his divine plan. And whether anyone likes it or not, God has chosen men to lead the way. That's a Bible fact. God chose men to lead the way. He didn't choose women. But when men take a back seat, God will raise a Deborah.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Somebody dropped off some pamphlets for the vote for the election there last week. It had all the Republicans on it. And it had five pictures on the front of that. Had them all listed in the back, but they had five pictures on the front of it. It was judges, different judges, state judgeships, and I can't remember what they were all for. But when you looked at that thing, there were five pictures. Four of them were women. Four of them were women. How many women are in politics now? How many women preachers are there now? Well, there's lawyers, women CEOs, women in our military. How many women are running the home?
That's it.
How many women are taking the spiritual leadership of the home? At least somebody's doing it. But it shouldn't be the woman. That's the man's place. That's where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be leading. Men have lost their backbone. And when men lose their backbone, the women will take over. They will take over. Some guys like that, I think. You know, they can sit back and they can do their own thing and not have to worry about anything. God doesn't like it. You read through the Bible, God was always looking for a man. Always looking for a man. He was looking for a Noah. He was looking for an Abraham. And he was looking for a David. He was looking for a Nehemiah. He was looking for a Joshua. When Jesus Christ walked this earth, you know what he did? He looked for some men. He chose out 12 men to follow him, 12 men that he could train. And then they placed men over local churches. So God chose men to lead the way, and that he hasn't changed his mind at all. The fact that God is looking for men to honor and serve him should be a great honor to us. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." You know what God wants to do? God wants to show himself strong through us. He's looking for somebody that he can show himself strong through. Someone that will walk after him. Someone that will serve him. Someone that will love him. Someone that will obey him. So God's looking for a man. He's always been looking. He sought out Noah. He sought out David. He sought out these people. Elijah, Nehemiah, and I've got a whole list here, but it doesn't matter. Jesus sought out his disciples. So what is Jeremiah looking for? He's looking for a man. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. You really don't have to turn here, but I like this verse. I like reading this verse, so... this verse encourages me. 1 Samuel chapter 22, look at verse 1. The Bible says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And therewith were with him about 400 men." Who did these guys become? They became David's mighty men. And who were they? They were just men. Amen. That's it. Just men. That's all it was. Gideon. God calls Gideon. And Gideon chooses the 300 that go with him to battle. Who were they? They weren't anybody special. They were just men. That's all, just men. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," talking about Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So who are the they? Just church members, right? Just Christians, just saved people. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." That they were the everyday Christians. These are the people that are in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 that made the early church great. It was they, the people. We don't know their names. We don't know what they did. But they were faithful people that honored God, faithful people that followed God, faithful people that carried out God's will in their lives. And that's what God's looking for. In Jeremiah chapter 5, you don't have to go there, but look in the streets. Look in the broad places for this man. He didn't say, go to the temple and look for this man. Now, thank God that he calls men into the ministry. Thank God for that. But there's a great there's a calling that is just as great as that, I'm as far as I'm concerned. And that's just the call to be a man in your home and in the church. He's calling everyday people just to be men. He wants us to be men. He said, Jeremiah, find a man. Not some super spiritual person. Just a man. Someone that will execute judgment. Someone that will seek truth. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That word effeminate, I looked that up today in Webster's 1828. You know what it means? It means to make womanish. It means to unman.
Right.
It means to weaken. And that's where we're at.
Yes, it is.
That is what you do not want to be. Any of us. You young guys in here, that is not what you want to be. Say, how do I do that? Don't do anything that would make anybody think that way about you. Okay? How's that for an answer? Don't do anything that would make anybody think that way about you. Ever. The way you dress. My wife buys a lot of my shirts. And she came home with... She's got me in colored shirts now instead of white shirts so much. But she came home with a couple of shirts here about 6 months ago. And I put it on, and it just fit different than what I'm used to. And I got to looking at it, and it didn't have a pocket here.
No, it didn't.
No pocket. And, you know, I mean, it was a men's shirt. It wasn't a lady's shirt. But... the only time I'll wear that shirt is if I got a suit coat on, because it bugs me that there's no pocket there. I don't think that's right. I really don't. I think it's a woman's shirt. If you got a shirt on with no pocket, I'm sorry. your wife bought it for you. But don't dress. The way you speak, words you use. My dad, stand up straight. I mean, always stand up straight. Head up. Head up. Look people in the eye. Bugs me when you're talking to somebody in there. You know? Look people in the eye. That's what a man does. He stands up straight, he holds his head up, and he looks people in the eye.
Amen.
Emotional. I understand it's emotions are a good thing, and there's a place for it. But guys, we're not to be emotional. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do I have to qualify that? We're not to be a woman in our emotions. We're not to act like our wives or, you know, our daughters. We should be different.
Amen.
Effeminate. Don't be soft. Don't be soft. We live in a time where people are soft. I mean, they're soft. It's sad how soft people are. Man isn't supposed to be soft. He says, Jeremiah, find us. Find me a man. Find a man. And God's man does not let society dictate to him what a man is.
Right.
He doesn't let society dictate how he's to raise his children.
Amen.
If you were to ask my, if you were, oh, she's watching. If you were to ask my wife about raising our son, she would probably tell you right now I didn't do right when I was raising him. But you know what I wanted him to be? I wanted him to be a man.
Amen.
I mean, I put a lot of faith in God that he would steer him in the right direction, and he did. Thank God for that. But I realized that in the generation that he was going to live in the times that he was going to live in, if he was going to live for God, he was going to have to be a man.
Right.
And he wasn't going to, he couldn't be soft. Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
He said one day, we were sitting at the kitchen table, and he sat down. It was the middle of the day. He says, Dad, he says, I've decided I'm either going into special forces or the ministry. So he says, I'm either going to Bible school or I'm going into special forces. I says, well, I think Bible school would probably be the best choice. And that's what he did. Thank God for that. But we need some men. God's looking for some men. When he looks in this room, what does he see? When he looks at you, what does he see?
Well,
yeah. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, and I sought for a man among them, and there should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. He says, but I found none.
Yeah.
He should be able to find some in a Bible-believing church, I would think.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was a man.
Yeah.
Pilate said what? He said, behold the man.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew he was dealing with a man. Pilate was a man that dealt with men day in and day out. When Jesus Christ stood before him, he knew that there was a man standing there. He knew that he was in the presence of a man. Go to 1 Kings chapter 2. Kings chapter 2 verse 1 says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and what?
Show
thyself a man. David can say that. David was a man.
Yeah.
David wasn't perfect, just like you and I weren't perfect, but David was a man. And he said to his son, he says, I want you to be a man. And then as you go down through, he gives him some advice on being a man. Verse 3, he says, show thyself a man. He says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. First thing he says is, Solomon, obey God's word. Honor God. He says, if you're going to be a man, obey the word of God. Honor God. In verses 5, 6, 8, and 9, he says, take care of some unfinished business, Solomon. If you start something, finish it. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Now, there are some things God tells you to quit. I'm not talking about those. A lot of things God's telling us we need to quit. And I'm not talking about those. Listen to God. But when you start something, finish it. Don't be a quitter. Don't let your children quit on things. If you give them a job, make sure they do it. Make sure they finish it. If they start something, make sure they finish it. Don't be a quitter.
Yes,
and then, as you read down through that, there are times You have to be confrontational if you're a man. Most do not like that. They don't like confrontation. And I understand that. I don't really like confrontation. But a man will take that confrontation when it's time. When it has to be done, he will do it. Now, there's a whole other set of, you know, problems if someone that likes to be confrontational. That's a whole other set of problems. A preacher friend of mine said a guy walked in his church one day, and a visitor after church, he was talking to him, and the guy says, yep, he says, God has given, the gift God has given me is the gift of rebukes. He said, oh, great. Some people like confrontation. But as a man, there are times that we have to be confrontational. There are times that you have to just do right, like it or not. David tells him to think for himself in verse 9. David basically says to Solomon, be a man. He says, you know what is right. Do it. We all know what's right. If you're saved in here tonight, you've got a Bible, you've got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and there is no excuse for any of us to not know what it is right. No excuse at all. And anybody that tries to say they don't know what, I have never in my life come up to something that I didn't know what was right to do. I'm not saying I did it every time. I'm not saying I liked it, but I've never came up to the point where I had to sit down and scratch my head and say, boy, I wonder what the right thing to do in this situation is. I always knew what the right thing to do was. It may not be, might not be easy. I might not do it. But I know what's right. And he says, Solomon, you know what's right. Do it. You're a man. You know what's right. Do it. If you have to go against the world, if you have to go against your wife, if you have to go against, do what's right. Do what's right. And God, main thing, God is looking for a man. He's not looking for super spiritual, okay? He's not looking for a perfect Christian. He's not looking for someone like that. People like that kind of scare me. I don't know about you, but they kind of scare me. God expects each and every one of us to be a man. There are two genders.
That's right.
There are two genders. That's all. That's all there ever has been. That's all there ever will be. A man and a woman. He expects a man to be a man, and he expects a woman to be a woman. This world wants to flip it all around. Don't let them. Don't let them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, cheers.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good
preaching.
Good, brother.